closing arguments are scheduled tomorrow in a case that's gotten a lot of attention in a wide variety of both news outlets and social media platforms. Actor Johnny Depp sued his ex-wife, actor Amber Heard, for defamation. The lawsuit is based on a 2018 opinion piece she wrote for the Washington Post about being a survivor of domestic abuse. Depp argued that while the piece didn't name him specifically, it still caused damage to his reputation and career. Regardless of the outcome, some experts on sexual and domestic violence are worried about the effects it could have on victims of abuse. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you been following this week's long trial, avoiding it, or seeing news about it even if you were trying to avoid it? What has stood out to you about the coverage? If you have dealt with issues of domestic violence in your own life, what does this all say to you? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. Nicole Badera is a sociologist who focuses on gender-based violence. She recently completed her PhD at the University of Michigan, where she studied college sexual assault. Nicole, welcome to Central Time.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Before we get into specific, takeaways from this trial that you might be worried about, this is a really a weird thing. We're like nationwide, worldwide, people are watching this case unfold in real time, picking sides, doing things on social media and TikTok to support one person in this or another. It seems like it'd be hard to get a good message out of this sort of media circus approach. What do you think about that?
Yeah, this has been a really unusual case because of the amount of attention it has gotten and what attention that has been. So usually if we know a case is going to be high profile, you'll see coverage in big mainstream media platforms like NPR or the New York Times or places like that. But this case at the beginning was treated like more of a celebrity tabloid issue. And the people who originally took up the helm to discuss it were people like TikTok influencers or podcasters that stream to YouTube. And these people didn't necessarily have a lot of expertise on the subject of gender-based violence. And as a result, there's been a lot of misinformation spreading about the trial and about how to make sense of intimate partner violence in general.
And what are some of your biggest worries when it comes to misleading messages people could get, especially when it comes to intimate partner violence?
There's already a lot of misinformation about intimate partner violence, and it has a lot of really predictable outcomes. One that's very alarming is that when we dismiss survivors' true stories of intimate partner violence and we scrutinize and criticize them, it can be more difficult for victims who are currently in violent relationships to see the violence they're experiencing as wrong. And so they might stay longer if they identify with Amber Heard's story and they start to think to themselves, is what I'm going through really that bad? So that's one obvious one. Another one is that when survivors do come forward, their friends and family might be more likely to victim blame them. They might be more likely to question whether there was really abuse, and that can be harmful too. And then something unique about this particular case is that Amber Heard did not name a perpetrator when she identified as a survivor. And that can lead a lot of survivors to wonder, will I face a defamation case if I advocate for sexual violence or intimate partner violence? Could I be the one who's going to face this kind of punishment next?
That's something I've seen as a concern, that defamation cases, whether they're successful or not, could be used as a tactic to prevent victims of intimate partner violence from coming forward. Is this a concern, or do you think this is something that's going to be unique to this particular high-profile case?
It is a concern, in part because we already know that it's not unique. So my background is mostly in campus sexual violence. And in that setting, 23% of survivors that report to their universities face the threat of a defamation lawsuit from their perpetrators. Now, I want to say it doesn't matter if those defamation lawsuits are successful. It doesn't matter if the victim would ultimately win in the end. They're still expensive and they're scary. And one thing that we should always keep in mind is they do force prolonged contact between victim and perpetrator. So in this case, for example, Amber Heard left her relationship with Johnny Depp years ago. She left in 2016, and now they've had to spend 6 weeks next to each other every day in the same courtroom. So in that way, these defamation cases, regardless of their outcome, can become an extension of a perpetrator's abuse. And then when you add the social media frenzy in this kind of a high-profile case, then they can be used to punish, harass, and humiliate victims too.
in the social media frenzy that that you mentioned, a lot of the detailed fine point sorts of things seem to be people analyzing Amber Heard's demeanor, performance, how she's presenting herself, and trying to read and glean from that if her case, if her accusations of domestic violence are authentic or not. This idea of somebody having to be in some ways the phrase is the perfect victim in a courtroom. Can you talk about that a little?
Yeah, I think it's really striking that there is a lot of attention to these fine details, and that's sort of a trope in crime shows, including true crime shows. We love some kind of a crime drama that ends with that one piece of evidence that looked irrelevant cracking the case. But in reality, this type of irrelevant evidence can be really damaging, especially in gender-based violence trials where there is so much misinformation and so much misunderstanding about victims' behavior. So that's where we run into the problems of the perfect victim trope, where there's no such thing as a perfect victim. The whole point of this trope is that no victim can live up to it, that everyone will break the rules of how you should behave at some point. And that's because they're contradictory. This is actually what my very first study I ever conducted was on, was about how all of the rules women are supposed to follow about how to be a victim and how to prevent violence contradict one another, which makes it impossible to fit into the stereotype. And so you see that on display with how Amber Heard is being criticized, that she's crying too much or she's not crying enough is a really good example of how her behavior is being picked apart, while Johnny Depp is not being held to the same standard.
We're talking to sociologist Nicole Badera about gender-based violence, her concerns about this high-profile Johnny Depp defamation suit against Amber Heard over her writing about being a domestic abuse survivor without naming him. That trial wrapping up this week. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Are you following this story? How is it impacting you? Is it dredging up maybe personal experiences for you? Do you have questions about how these kind of cases are handled in the court? Are you worried about the social mediaization, if I can make that up, that word up, and how it affects what we're learning or think we're learning from this trial? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up here on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Verrett. We continue our talk about the defamation trial involving actors and former spouses Johnny Depp and Amber Heard. Central to this, accusations of domestic abuse, intimate partner violence. Even if you haven't wanted to follow this case, it is getting a lot of coverage, a lot of coverage on social media in particular. Sociologist Nicole Badera is our guest. We're talking about the impacts this high-profile trial could have on abusers and on victims of gender-based violence. You can join the conversation with your thoughts, your questions at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Nicole, I've seen concerns out there that some people are actively promoting this on social media with particular messages, trying to call claims of domestic abuse into question in the first place. Is that a concern you have?
Yeah, it's something that we've seen a lot. Some of the most popular hashtags that have been dominating the social media discussion have been questioning what domestic abuse even is and whether or not it's fair for women to say that they've experienced domestic abuse. And I want to point out that a lot of the social media response has just been really misogynist. That if you look at the types of ways that Amber Heard is being talked about, the language isn't very kind, to say the least. And it's based off of these old tropes that women who make allegations of intimate partner violence are liars or psychopaths. And so it's really important that when you do see these gendered tropes come up, that you give them a little bit more thought and you start to think, how is gender inequality shaping this broader conversation?
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Michael is with us in Appleton. Michael, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call, and thanks for this conversation. I think it's really informative to learn about these things. My comment is kind of two parts. One, just reflecting the social media aspect, I frequent Reddit, and the number of references that I've seen, it's really disappointing to see how quick people are to disbelieve or disparage things that Amber Heard says or does, and how quick they are to just blindly accept things that Johnny Depp has said. And it's just been disappointingly one-sided. The other thing I was going to say, and I'll make this short, the professor, you had mentioned something about contradictory standards that women are expected to conform to. And in a recent course that I took, Women in Literature, you can look back, you know, hundreds of years at things women have wrote and see that these sorts of contradictory standards that are at odds with each other and are punishing to women and their freedom and their expression have been around for way too long. And this is just kind of one new way that you see that.
Michael, thanks for the call. Nicole, what do you think?
Yeah, I think you're picking up on something that has happened for a very long time. And part of what's disappointing in this moment is we thought that the Me Too movement would have helped protect against some of these myths. But I think one of the reasons that these double standards are persisting is because of who the original audience for this case was. It blew up on TikTok. And so if you think about who in your own family is the most likely to be on TikTok, I know in mine, it's some of the teenagers who are actually too young to really be aware of the Me Too movement at its peak. And so one thing the Me Too movement did not successfully do was promote a lot of structural changes, including instilling education on what intimate partner violence is and how to support victims into our formal education systems. So a lot of people who are seeing this stuff, they don't know any better still. And we really, one thing we can take away from this case is how important it is to create structural change to make sure that everybody is getting the information about how to recognize violence when it's happening and how to support victims when it does.
Thanks for that call. We'll go to Susan next in Rhinelander. Susan, hi.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to offer that I took in a few snippets of the coverage, and I immediately had a sense that not only did it seem very tragic on both sides, but that it was an invasion of privacy. It almost felt unseemly for me to watch it. So that was enough for me. But also, you're just looking at the, you know, intrinsically, an older man with a much younger woman in the relationship. He comes into it with a lot of power and financial resources. And the little bit that I saw where he was testifying, I just, it almost felt like that he was not taking it seriously, or that there was some almost a comic undertone. Hard to pinpoint, but that was my sense in just the little bit that I saw.
Well, Susan, I felt the same way in watching a little bit to prepare for the show today. It felt very voyeuristic to watch it in the first place. Nicole, does it do us any good to have this out there in the public? I know legally cameras can be in the courtroom there, but I don't know. What do you think?
I don't think it does. One of my big takeaways from this case is that we should increase protections for this type of a court case, because we know that predictably when we have cases of gender-based violence that get this kind of scrutiny or a live stream, that it can lead to a lot of harassment of the victim. And there isn't a lot of protection in place to keep that from happening. In fact, this defamation case naming Amber Heard has led her to be quite defamed. And I'll say that I do agree, and I've heard a lot of people who've actually watched the case themselves say that that's kind of the impression they've gotten about Johnny Depp's behavior, that the coverage that's happening on social media is really disassociated from what's happening in the courtroom. And people who do watch some of it for themselves are really shocked to see what's going on.
Susan, thanks for the call. Tom joins us now in Brookfield. Hi, Tom.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I'd like to bring up the point that the inequality there is when it comes to cases like this, where Amber herself has admitted to hitting Johnny. And when Johnny is upset and cries, she makes fun of him and just degrades his manhood. It's a very one-sided argument, and I don't like how nobody pays attention to when the woman abuses the man, but everyone cares about it when it's the other way around.
Tom, thanks for the call. Nicole, Tom feels like there's a double standard for men and women when it comes to intimate partner abuse.
Yeah, I think that this is a really important point to be able to address, because this comes up a lot. Johnny Depp has made allegations that that Amber Heard was the true abuser. And the reality is, that this is something that happens to victims of intimate partner violence a lot if they use violence as a form of self-defense, which when you think about it in any other context, if you're being violently attacked, you would expect someone to defend themselves. But this has led to a lot of confusion and misinformation around what intimate partner violence is and who the victims are. One thing I want everybody to take away from this case is that the context of violence matters. Whether or not someone is responding out of fear versus trying to control matters. And we have a lot of work to do on this. For example, in my own field of social science, we've made some mistakes in the past where we've used surveys to gauge who victims are in intimate partner violence relationships that were completely neutral and didn't take context into account. And so we would ask, has your partner hit you, for example? And when you do it that way, it actually looks like men are more likely to be victims than women. But that's because women are unlikely to say that they have been hit by a partner if they were acting in self-defense. And so you were capturing men who were claiming to be victims when they were both perpetrators and victims. And that's one of the complexities moving forward. Context is really important. There's a difference between aggression and self-defense.
Nicole, thanks for the call, Tom. And just our last minute, Nicole, what are you hoping that people can take away from a trial like this?
Something that I think is really crucial is that we do need to make more structural changes to support the Me Too movement. Since we haven't changed the legal system that so commonly betrays survivors, it's going to continue to do so. And so it's time for some serious reforms. And then the other thing that I think is most important is to make sure that we are protecting survivors' freedom of speech. It is so crucial that survivors can talk about what has happened to them.
Nicole, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Nicole Badera is a sociologist who studies gender-based violence. She's with us today to talk about some wider concerns she has coming out of the high-profile defamation trial involving actors and ex-spouses Johnny Depp and Amber Heard. Resources out there. The National Domestic Violence Hotline phone number is 1-800-799-7233. That's 1-800-799-7233 for the National Domestic Violence Hotline. The National Dating Abuse Helpline number is 1-866-331-9474. Again, 866-331-9474, or you can text LOVEIS to 22522.